Hello, welcome to Lifehouse Church Podcast. It's so good you've joined us today. This message is delivered by Pastor Paul Hollingworth. Please sit back, enjoy, listen to what's said. For any more information about Lifehouse Church, please visit our website, www.lifehousechurch.co.uk, or head over to one of our social media pages. You'll find us at Lifehouse 12. Enjoy the message, and we'll see you soon.
Well, you might as well remain standing while you're here, just in this moment. The key verse of this series that we're going to go through these next few weeks is a verse which I'm not keen on doing, just saying this is the key verse, because we have to take Scripture in context, where it's positioned, where it's placed, and why God put it in its place. But there's some verses that appear in the Bible that I'm aware of that appear to be feel-good verses. They make the soul, the emotions, because we're all pretty much caught up at times in our emotions, feelings. And the feel-good verse is actually not a feel-good verse, it's a foundational verse that I really want to tap into today. I don't want it to make you feel good. I want us to understand that this is foundational for us moving forward. As we face many things that ask the question, why? Why is something God put on our hearts? My heart, particularly a few weeks ago, this whole theme of why is a question that we come back to time and time again. And maybe through lockdown, you've asked the question about key areas of in your life, maybe about your marriage, maybe about your finance, maybe about your health, maybe about, I don't know, what you want to put in there, maybe tragedy that's come to your doorstep. And as we ask the question, why, I think it's really important we know at the same time we have a God perspective and understand what the Word of God said to us, because we can't be dragged along by our emotions, our feelings. We have to have a sense of faith and who God is and what is God saying. This is the key verse. And understand why I say it's a feel-good verse, because you can applaud it in the moment of celebration. But in the moment of difficulty, in the moment of struggle and striving, this is a difficult verse to actually grasp with. Romans 8:28 says this, and we stand always to honor the word of God. That is the reason why we're still standing. And it says this from the Apostle Paul. And we know that in all things, in everything, in lockdowns, in COVID, in disappointments, in failures, we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who, I never be a reader like I can be with a book sometimes. By the time you get to the end of the book, I put it down because I kind of think I know what the ending's going to be. And on a sentence, we can be like, well, yeah, well, and we know that in all things, God works for good of those who, note the language, love Him. Love God, despite my disappointments, despite my questions, despite my queries and my issues that I have that are going on around me at this present moment in time, God works together for good for those that love Him. Love Him. I'm believing today in these next 20 minutes that God's going to help us to understand that this is not a feel-good verse, but it's actually foundational to everything that we are and to every step that you're going to take forward in your life in these coming days. Why don't you grab your seats where you are in this moment? I'm just conscious that we all live with a why. Everybody has a why. Like, why did this happen? I know there's many people in this room today. I consider as a good friend, but I'm good friends with many people online and in the room today. And there's many questions of why that we have. And yet at times Christians can be so flippant and so quick to respond with just little dropout verses from the Bible that kind of almost say to you just to pull your socks up and move on. But actually we all live with a why, don't we, at times? Anybody else got a why going on in the world? I'm not asking you to express it, but we do have whys at times that come to us. And I think it's important as a church that we talk about the why. I think it's important, as Pastor Sarah will take us on a journey next week, that it is important to understand what your why actually is in life. You know, if you want to be successful in life, anybody that you believe in that you're going to be super successful, you need to know why you do what you do. And I really believe as people of faith, we really should know why we do what we do. We don't lift our hands in church, for instance, because it's like, it's what everybody else seems to be doing around us. But there's a significance to why we lift our hands in worship, in praise, because we're surrendering to the King of Kings. It is important, but yet we do live with some whys as well. We, as I spoke to Pastor Abraham, and as, if he is watching and he says, you know, occasionally he's checked in on what we're doing. I think he's checking upon me more so, but he's checked in on what we're doing. There's a huge why at the moment going on in his world. And you know, life is full of moments when the key thought for all of us is why. Why did this go on? Why is it happening to me? One of the things I do know is we all have this desire to know why things happen. The older I get, I'm understanding more and more that I'm inquisitive and I want to know the why behind things and constantly questioning people. If you know me well, I love to ask questions and find out what the real reasons is. And you know, a few years ago now in my family's life, my wife walked in, Sarah walked into the room, or Mum walked into the room, and she walked into the room and Caleb was sat in front of the TV screen as a 4 or 5 year old boy, and he was sat in front of the TV screen watching the TV screen, and the TV had gone a little bit blurry and the picture didn't look great. And as she reports back to me, in fact the picture looked pretty black on the picture, and he was looking at this TV screen with this bottle next to him and sat looking at the TV screen, and as the report goes, in fact Caleb, just come quickly, give him a round of applause, it is his birthday tomorrow as well. Are you ready? So we'll do a really quick happy birthday. Ready? Happy birthday to you. There we go. That's it. Stop. That's it. He's got enough affirmation just there. So this is what happened. He was sat in front of the TV as a 4 year old, I think it was about 4 year old. Just tell people why the TV looked in the way that it particularly did.
Basically, the TV looked the way it did because I was watching Fireman Sam, and I went to the kitchen, looked through the cupboards, found some antibacterial spray, picked it up, ran to the back to the fire that was on the TV and decided to spray it to try and put it out. And then it just went black, so I assumed it worked.
Give a round of applause. That's so good. Saw the fire. I mean, that's what we teach people to do, eh? Saw the fire. We told him to respond, so he went to get antibacterial spray. Not really sure the connection there. And the screen, you know, the screen was what it was, and that was the end of the TV. The first question that Sarah said at that moment was, why did you do that? On analysis of that, really, she wasn't really interested in his answer because he gave the answer. I was watching Fireman Sam, there's a fire, and I put the fire out. And I think in life sometimes we go to God and we say, God, why is this happening? And I have to say, sometimes I think more so it's just probably our reaction to God's answers. Because we view earth in such a very narrow frame that actually God is talking about eternity. We look through an angle, a lens that is only 70 plus years, 80, 90, 100 years. We look through this very narrow angle, but actually God's angle is a huge picture. And I'm not saying for one moment that what you're dealing with and the whys that have arisen as a result of that don't matter. I'm just saying that the Bible points us always to an answer that says this, that we can know. Are you ready? Sunday school class. Sunday school class years ago was this. You used to go to Sunday school and they'd sit you on a bench or in a back room of a church up there and they'd say, well, today we're going to do something super fun. And you'd be like, yes, get the snooker table out. Let's get the table tennis going. We're going to do something super fun. We're going to teach you a Bible verse. And I was like, oh. And you know what they did? They taught me Bible verses. And 30 years later, I'm in a moment where I have no idea why the tragedy that I'm facing, the things, the scenarios of what to do next and what do we do now? We're in lockdown and all these things. And I come back to this and we know that in all things, God works, because they broke it down for you as well, God works together for the good for those that love him. See, whenever I actually think, I'm a big believer that actually trying to get scripture into our soul is so important. The reading of scripture is so important, or the, if you struggle with reading, the listening of scripture is so important because it allows it to settle in your heart. So in those moments, when you're flapping around and you don't know what to do, you can, Romans 8:28, and I can know that in all things, anybody saying amen to the fact that we can know that in all things, you see, it is a healthy question to ask why. I'm not saying for one moment we shouldn't ask why. People might say, and you might have an opinion, that we shouldn't ask why to God. Well, I believe he's a loving heavenly father, and he understands every emotion that we go through, which means the question of why is fine with God. We can ask him why, we just need to trust him in the process of what he's leading us through. There's nothing wrong with your why question, but it can be unhealthy to live with a constant asking of why. There has to come a moment where we say, I'm not going to stay here. I'm actually going to leave and move on. This next period of time in church life is really exciting for us. Lots of things are coming back to life again. And by the end of this year, I don't know how it's happened, we've got 3 weddings now booked in the church. 3 weddings. Like, that's brilliant. I think it's good. I think it's exciting for them to get married. We've got 3 weddings booked in a lockdown period. It's amazing. Like, if we've got 30 guests, we're going to have 30 guests, and 3 people's lives are going to be changed and they're going to venture forward in marriage. It's exciting. But I always, whenever we go to a wedding, my mind drifts to the fact that usually I'm always happy when there's a wedding on a Thursday or a Friday. Because whenever there's a wedding on a Thursday or a Friday, which one of them is, the beauty of that is that people say to us, do you want to come to the party afterwards? And we're like, yes, boy, we're Christians. We like free food. That's what most Christians like. Let's be honest. First thing is there's food, and you go, yeah, I'm a Christian. Check. I like free food. There we go. That's my meal sorted. Take that off the calendar. But we always go, and then there's been opportunities in the past where some of you people have invited us to a wedding, and they've said, like, do you want to stay over at the hotel overnight? It's a great deal. We can get you a deal in the hotel. And we like think, great, a night away, it'd be amazing. Then we always say this, I'm really sorry, but we can't stay because we've got church in the morning, because it's on a Saturday night usually. And I really felt, as I was just spending time with God and examining my own heart, that some of our why questions that we have are so real, so real. And I really believe that just some wisdom from the Word of God today would be to say that we just can't afford to continually live in a place of why, and that God wants to replace the why with an O. Rather than focus on the why, God wants us to focus on who we're dealing with, who we're speaking with. And that's where I kind of want to take us to land today. You see, in Hebrews 13, verse 5-8, in fact, I feel like we just need to read a little bit of scripture, because sometimes my mind gets too full of everything else that everybody else is shoving in my face and saying, look at this bad news. I think let's just keep reading just a little bit more of scripture. And this is what it says at Hebrews 13 verse 5 says this, not picking on anybody here. Keep your lives free from the love of money. I was just clearing my throat, don't worry. Keep your lives free from the love of money, just having a smile, and be content with what you have. There it is, gratitude. Oh, that's a breath releaser today. Like, I feel energized. Just be content with what I have. It's actually written in the Bible. They didn't just say it on stage. Be content with what you have, because God has already said, never will I leave you and never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Well, there's an applause moment. Semi-applause. Verse 8 says this. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Which means the whys of life, I just simply have to change the lettering. I'm not dismissing the whys for one minute. I'm just saying my focus has to be on the why change to an O change. The who. Isaiah 44 verse 6 tells me this of the God that we serve, the God that we worship, the God that we raise our hands to today, the one that we declare and we proclaim his goodness. He says this, I am the beginning and I am the end. And apart from me, there is no other God. No matter what gods try to rear their heads, no matter how much COVID has reared its head to all of us, there is no other God apart from me. He's above it. He's above it. We have to view, rather than just the why, we've got to focus on the who. Now, I don't know about you, but I really believe it's time for the church to rise up and begin to take hold of, like, God's not given us prayer to be something we go to in a desperate moment. Prayer is life and breath to us. It's our relationship with God. It's how we know him. It's how we come to love him more, to understand his leading, his path, but it's also power to us. It's power. We can believe as a church today for change in our nation through prayer. And if we can believe it for our nation, well, we can believe it for your family. And we can believe it for your life because he knows your beginning from your end and everything in between. You see, the constant question of asking why will ultimately leave us with a trust issue. And I want to just try to just keep us on track here. We're not dismissing the why, but we're building firm foundations that perform a behavior of trust. Psalm 37 tells us to trust in the Lord and do good. James 1 verse 6 says, don't be like Paul Hollingworth that sometimes can be like a little bit doubting and tossed around like the waves of the sea, but be like Jesus. Did not doubt. The key verse is this, Romans 8 verse 28. Are you ready? We're going to pop it on screen and we're going to go to Sunday school. The year is 1985 and you're in the Sunday school classroom with me right now and you're facing some whys in your life currently, which I know is true. And this is what we're going to go to. We're going to break this down and we're going to go. Anybody ready for old school Sunday school? Yeah? That you're going to be in your car on the way back and you're going to pick somebody up in your car that's in your bubble and you're going to be quoting this and be like, what have you been doing today? I've been to church and I learned scripture. And it says this. Are you ready? It's on the screen. I've got to trust that it's on the screen, yeah? That's because I trust Tolu. So this is what it says. Are you ready? We're going to go for it on the count of three. One, two, three. And we know that in all things, God works for the good for those who... Right, now we'll say it with a bit of conviction. Are you ready? On the count of three. One, two, three. And we know. I'm just going to do a little impression of what it sounded like. If you're online, forgive me. And we know that in all things. Now we know that in all things, God is working for the good for those that love him. So these are the three essential truths that I really believe in this scripture that we can base this series on, but base the foundations for moving forward for each and every one of us on. And that is number one, he is peace. God is peace. You've got your why, but you've got God who is peace. He is peace. It says this right at the beginning. It says, and we know. And we know. We are convinced. We are confident, as the Hebrews says, that the Lord is my helper. We know. You see, the why will leave us with a void of peace. But the one thing I've discovered in life these last months, probably years really, is the biggest search going on in people's lives is the search for peace. I'm not referencing hairstyles. I'm referencing your biggest search in life is for a search for peace. God promises peace. Philippians 4 verse 7 says this, the peace of God that we can know, the peace of God will pass all our understanding. As one translation will tell you, the New King James Version will tell you, the peace of God will transcend all our understanding. Transcend mean to go beyond the limits. And the peace that God will give you can go beyond all your questions of why that are so, so real to you, but God can somehow bring you peace in the midst of the storm. God is the one that can take you into the desert situation and somehow ensure that you have peace, to know that He will find a way through the wilderness, as He promises. See, our relationship with Jesus is so, so important. Why do we put an emphasis? Why at the end of this service today do we put a clear emphasis on, have you made a decision to follow Jesus Christ? It's because our relationship with Jesus means we can have those moments where we ask the question why. We can have one that we can cast all our anxieties and cares onto because He cares for us, but still have peace. Because Jesus said that He would go with us. He was the same yesterday, today, and forever, and He'd be with us right through every storm. See, I'm believing today that in this service, right as we come to the end, I'm believing for every single one of us that we can cast all our whys onto Him because He cares for us. Because ultimately, God doesn't want us to live without peace. He wants to take the why off and replace it with the who of He is. And my promise to you today is this. The Word of God tells me, and I've seen it in my own life, and I've seen it in many of your lives, and I've seen it time and time again. I've read books about it, but He's the one who brings peace in the midst of every storm. It's a supernatural peace. It's not a peace that the world can understand. It's not a peace that somebody can quantify and say, well, this is how you get your peace. It's a peace that He will give you as you surrender your why and say, God, it's about the who. I'm with you on the why. I'm with you on the why. I sat in the back of the cafe. In the cafe 7 years ago. Seven years ago. I remember sitting there that time, very inexperienced as a pastor, and I'd got my notes and I was swatting up on my notes for the message because it was a boy, was it a hard crowd at times. And I was swatting up on my message and my phone starts to ring and it's a number I don't recognise, and the number that I didn't recognise was an international call. I took the international call and it said this. It said, Paul, your very dear friend, and named him, has just passed away very peacefully. He was a close friend of mine. He was somebody that felt really dear to me. And in that moment, I was like, why, God? Why? But then we know that somehow God, in all things, the peace of God, I sense with me. You see, number one is He is peace. And secondly, He's also good. Scripture tells us, God's word, truth, tells us. We don't just say it because it's what Christians do, but God is good. So we'll go. Should we go for like, we're on TV, so we might as well do it. We'll go strong or we'll go home, right? So I'm going to say God is good, and you can holler back to me because I heard one person holler back to me. But God is good. He's all the time, God is good. Not because church says it or I've heard it said by somebody, but no, God Himself says it. Psalm 119 verse 68 says this, you are good, and God, what you do is good. Don't get confused when things come to your world that are very apparent evils. We can be very quick with our language and say, God, why have you? I do believe passionately, my theology would teach me that I do believe that God allows us to walk through storms. But I never think for 1 minute that God has ever left anybody's side. I don't believe that. God doesn't just leave you and walk off. I'll be back to you in 2 years. I believe in your darkest moments, God has always been there. He's always been there. Because He's prepared to bring you peace, but also that He is good. It can't be just a gospel that we preach in the good days. It's got to be a gospel message that we take through us through every season. And we know with confidence that He is good. In a few weeks' time, we are actually going to talk about why do bad things happen to good people. See, Romans 8 verse 18, if we actually read the scripture well, as I said, we should read it in context. Romans 8, 18. You see, Romans 8, 28 says that we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him. But actually, that passage of Scripture starts with this, that the Apostle Paul says, Romans 8, verse 18, I consider that our present sufferings, are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. He talks about the why of now in verse 18, but in verse 28, he talks about who God is. He talks about his travail in his life, his struggles, and then he reminds us that, and we can know that God is good. I don't know about you, but I keep declaring to myself, I know that God is good. God, I know you're a good God. I don't care what Sky News tell me. I know that God is a good God. You know, me and Sarah, we've been married 23 years this year. I'm not going to take you on a romantic journey now or anything, because that'll be too much for all of you. But we've been married 23 years this year. And the one thing I know about Sarah is there's still some things I do not understand about her. And I've been married, I've lived with her for 23 years. For longer than that, 25 years, I've known Sarah. But for 23 years, we've lived together. And there's still a day where I walk back into my home and I see, hear me right in this, I see another gentleman's been to our house that particular day and knocked a huge wall, the shape of a door frame, into my dining room wall. There's now an entrance into my dining room that was never there before. And I looked at Sarah and I was like, why did you do this? And she said to me simply these words, she said, just trust me, it's going to bring more light to the hallway. I'm not sure there's many loving husbands out there like me that would have responded the way I did. I was like, great, because I'm glad I didn't have to do it. You see, as we get to know God and his character, our whys turn into the fact that we simply say, we just trust you, God. You are good and what you do is good. And on that basis, God, I'm going to trust you. You see, he's our peace, he's good. And thirdly, as we stand to our feet, why don't you stand with me across this place? You need to stretch your legs. 25 is gone. We're going to close the service. We're going to enjoy closing our service today. We're going to worship him. But thirdly, not only is our peace, not only is he good. I reckon I've got everybody's attention, because I know what they have at home, because they're still alert in front of TV screens. But listen, he is working. He's our peace, he's good, and he's working. You see, it says we know that in all things God works. God is busy. God is active. God is moving for good for those that love him. He is the promiser that says in Isaiah 43:19 that I am making a way in your wilderness. It may seem like a wilderness right now, but I don't know about you, but I'm believing that God is making a way in the wilderness. I believe today in India, God can make a way in that wilderness. You see, my wives want me to debate, and he wants me to stay where I am, but I really believe that God wants us to replace the why with an O and say, just trust me on this one. I know you've not known me a long time or you've known me for years, but just trust me on this one. God is working. God is good. And God is peace to you today.
Brilliant. Thank you for engaging with us today. What an incredible message that was. Just remember, if you want to know anything else about who we are, where we are, what we do, head over to that website, www.lifehousechurch.co.uk, or on our social media platforms at Lifehouse12. Thanks, be blessed, and we'll see you again soon.